So hello, welcome back to the Nourishing Life, One Bite at a Time podcast. So for those who are new to our podcast, I'm Alison from Google, an AI kitchen assistant platform. And together with me is the co-host, Aprami from Stellar Eat, a platform for special dietary eater. Our podcasts are about the relationship between food and health and the lifestyle, everything in between. And in the podcast today, joining us is Dr. Jenny Ding from Cal Health Canada. So Jenny, it's so great to have you on our podcast.
Thank you Welcome. Very much for having me. Thank you.
So Jenny, your story of reversing pre-diabetes is so powerful. So what is your wake-up call moment that makes you take the health into your own hands and ultimately start the Cal Health Canada?
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. A little bit of background about myself. So my name is Dr. Jenny Ding. I am a family physician in Canada that specializes in metabolic health for blood sugar and gut health and performance around athletes. And so back, this was a couple of years ago, I was already working as a lifestyle medicine physician. This was kind of during that COVID era, and I was having a bunch of vague symptoms of feeling brain fog, poor sleep, tired all the time, hormone imbalance, cravings, feeling hungry all the time, all these things. And it wasn't until I had enough of those symptoms together that I thought, okay, maybe it's time for me to go and get some lab tests done to figure out what my blood sugar is, cholesterol, some of these things, etc. And so I went to my family physician, got some lab tests done, and I was surprised to find that I was actually pre-diabetic. Now, wow. I was already doing everything under the sun. I was doing yoga, high-intensity interval training, hiking, running 5-10K runs, half marathons, eating mostly plant-based whole foods, doing some intermittent fasting, all these things. But my body still wasn't working appropriately. Like my sugar was still high for some reason. That surprised me because I don't have a family history of diabetes. Yeah. My grandparents, they're in their 80s, they're very healthy. Their blood sugar is better than mine back then.
Yeah.
And wow. So that was essentially a wake-up call for me to say, oh wow, this is something is off. Obviously, like there's something going on that I'm missing. And so I looked into the research behind blood sugar control and created a program for myself that essentially reversed my condition in about 30 days.
And that's impressive.
Thank you. Yeah. And people always ask, what is kind of the one thing that I did? And to be honest, there isn't one single thing. And I did not go through a complete change of what I was already doing. What I realized is really kind of about creating some small incremental changes, building a bit of new habits, kind of having more of a structure, routine, and creating something that really works with my body. And some of the health technologies like the continuous glucose monitor, gut health test that I now provide through my company, Kale Health Canada, is something that I've used during that process to help me get the results quickly and effectively. So that is kind of a long-winded story.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. We would like to understand, like, once you've noticed that, what's the connection? We would like to, if you can help us connect the dots in this story between the sugar consumption, the metabolic process, and how does it affects our gut health. And if you can give us some insights, that it might take you an hour for a lecture, but for our audience sake of time, can you give us like a practical way of looking at it?
Yeah. So when it comes to blood sugar and gut health, it is very much interconnected. And what I always tell my clients, or when I do workshops and programs, is that I tell people whatever we put into our body, it's fuel for the bacteria in our gut, right?
Yeah.
So we have all kinds of choices of things that we can feed our bacteria, and in the process, select for the good bacteria versus bad bacteria, if we kind of put it into those general categories, right? And so the gut health then in turn impacts blood sugar by things like inflammation, nutrient absorption. It also affects other hormones that affects insulin sensitivity. And so the good bacteria, if we have a lot of those, they produce things like short-chain fatty acids, stuff like butyrate and some of these other things that actually improve insulin sensitivity and decreases blood sugar spikes. And so it kind of, it's this fantastically interconnected feedback cycle of how what we put into our body selects for what happens in the bacteria, and then the bacteria then feeds back to help our body function better.
Well, yeah, but you know, you just mentioned that the gut health is affecting, like, you are what you eat, right? So the gut health affects a lot in for our body, our hormones, and our, it's like the second brain of the human body. So when we think about the gut-friendly food, we will think about like yogurt or kimchi, any fermented food. So do you have any specific food choice that would help the body to increase the good bacteria and improve the blood sugar, make it stable?
Yeah, totally. Exactly. There's so many things that I could talk about in terms of like not only fermented foods, but some prebiotics that helps with stuff like probiotics in our body as well. Just to start, though, a lot of the time people don't realize they have actually imbalance in the good and bad bacteria.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard for us to know, right? And so I always tell people, pay attention to your symptoms, how you're feeling. So when we have this imbalance of the good and the bad bacteria, what we actually experience is bloating, is indigestion, maybe heartburn, maybe loose stools, constipation, maybe you can also have fatigue, brain fog, because as you mentioned, the gut is really our second brain, right?
Yes.
A lot of the neurotransmitters like serotonin is actually produced in the gut, right? And so when our gut health is quote unquote out of whack or not aligned, we don't feel well, right? And also affects our blood sugar and how we feel in that regard. And so I always tell people, pay attention first to the warning signs of poor blood sugar, poor gut health, and then that will be an indication for you to start looking into things. And some of the things you can look into are definitely the gut-friendly foods, right? Things like yogurt, things like kimchi, sauerkraut, those are fantastic options, and they help to stabilize your blood sugar by affecting your gut health. They help to fuel the good bacteria so that they can work better and help with blood sugar control, right? So that's kind of a long answer to your question. Hopefully it did answer some of that.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Well, I want to tie up to that. You mentioned early on on our podcast recording about fasting. And then since we have already talked about, you know, gut-friendly food, how does intermittent fasting come into play when it comes to, you know, this connection between sugar and doing this reset in our gut system?
Yeah, fasting has really become a very popular topic in the last couple of years. People sometimes get confused or they feel overwhelmed in terms of, oh my gosh, I have to do fasting, or like, where do I start, or how long should I go for fasting? How does this affect me? So fasting has definitely some real benefits when it comes to insulin sensitivity, but it's definitely not one size fits all.
Yeah.
And so essentially the concept of fasting is to not have any food intake for a period of time. And that period of time can be hours, can be many, many hours, could be days, right? And prehistorically, we have not always had access to food on a regular basis. So fasting was kind of part of our normal life, our normal routine. But now we have food 24/7 around the clock. You can order DoorDash, Uber Eats, whatnot, right?
True.
And so really, our habits, our food environments have changed in that we don't necessarily need to fast, right? We could snack all day. And so for people who are thinking about fasting, I always just recommend You'll start off with the basics. Just aim for 12 hours, right? Because if you finish dinner at, say, I don't know, 6 p.m. or 7 p.m., you're going to have enough fuel on board in your body to carry you through the night. You don't necessarily need to snack or eat and then wake up, have breakfast the next day, right? That will kind of be the simplest way to start. And starting that way is pretty much safe for everybody, right? If you have diabetes, pre-diabetes, some of these other health conditions, especially if you're on medications for things like blood pressure, blood sugar, whatnot, it's always good to consult with a health care provider who is familiar with fasting, who's familiar with some of these things to make sure you're doing it safely, especially if you're on medications. Now, for other people who want to do fasting, there are lots of ways to do a bit prolonged fasting. For some of my clients who are interested in improving their athletic performance, there are ways to actually hack your body so that you can use fuel more efficiently. But that's a bit more, in a nitty-gritty sense, a bit more nuanced for their goals, right? So yes, the general population, starting out 12 hours is a basics, and that should be okay for most people. Yeah.
So just for our listener to understand, if you do the 12-hour intermittent fasting, it means that you eat in the 12-hour circle, and the other 12 hours you stop eating like completely, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if we even think back to as recent as our grandparents' days, they would have breakfast, lunch, dinner, not necessarily snacks during the day. Technically, the snacking industry was invented quite recently to promote the sale of more products, right? Mm-hmm. So then they will finish eating and then they don't necessarily have anything until the next day. So it's always good to kind of just go back a little bit and say, okay, let's start with that as a foundation and then kind of work more into it depending on that individual's needs.
So what do you think about like combining the intermittent fasting with the gut-friendly food like yogurt or probiotic, prebiotic, for example? You know the probiotic, prebiotic is now all over the places. So is it a marketing part or is it really like supporting your gut health?
Yeah, so you are 100% correct. There are all these brands of supplements out there, all these brands of probiotics, digestive enzymes, all these things. And there's definitely a time and place for taking those products. Now, when it comes to the terminologies, I want to kind of give people a breakdown first. So probiotics refers to the type of strains of bacteria that is good for your gut health.
Yeah.
Prebiotics is basically the food that they eat, is the food that these probiotics eat so that they can live happily ever after, essentially.
Yes.
So in terms of the foods for prebiotics, I always just recommend plant-based whole foods as a go-to option.
Yeah.
So essentially get as much of those products into your body as possible, especially things like onions, garlic, oats, some of these products that's categorized as a loom in terms of the onions and garlic, etc. And they have a lot of good prebiotics for your gut. Of course, the stuff that you mentioned, fermented foods like kimchi, yogurt, sauerkraut, they have probiotics in them because they're fermented through the fermentation process. That's what the bacteria is doing. They also have some prebiotics that's still left over as well, right? So those foods are good. Now, if you're new to all those types of food, sometimes you may experience actually some indigestion. You may actually experience some unwanted symptoms of, you know, bloating or something like that. But that's because the gut environment has not been primed to take in those big changes that you're making, right?
Yeah.
So the bad bacteria is not really happy. They're kind of like, what are you doing? Why are you invading my space with all this good stuff? And so they're kind of causing some problems. And in those times, it might be good to take certain digestive enzymes that helps you to relieve those symptoms, right? And over time, if you continue to build these habits, eat these foods, the environment's going to shift and those symptoms are going to go away.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
It's really amazing. We heard about CGM and microbiome testing. So to connect to what you just said there and any other tools that you found throughout your practice to get our listeners kind of get, you know, get ahead of this onset of future, you know, diabetic issues or any other conditions moving forward that's going to greatly affect their lifestyle. So can you share us a little bit more? What is CGM, this microbiome testing, and any other tools that have helped your clients with your practice?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So a CGM, for those of you guys who are not familiar with acronyms, it stands for continuous glucose monitor. And what it actually does is basically a small sensor that you wear on your body for 2 weeks, and it tracks your blood sugar in real time. There is no needle, there's no needle that's left in your skin after insertion. So it's just this little patch that you have, and it gives you really good data in terms of what's happening second by second with your behaviors, with your food intake. And so that tool itself was one of the key tools that I used to reverse my prediabetes quickly and effectively, because I can see what my food intake, my behavior, my activity, how that really affected my sugar in real time, and make those adjustments on a continual basis. So you don't have to necessarily wait months to see the results on your next set of blood tests. You can do things right here and now. And so that is a tool that I still leverage heavily, still provide accessible to my clients in my programs, in my workshops, so that we can kind of go through and make things 100% tailored and personalized to that person, whether they are diabetic, pre-diabetic, or if they're healthy and just want to really keep their blood sugar in an optimal range so that they can achieve their athletic performance goals. Because the narrower your blood sugar is in that optimal range, the better you're actually going to feel in a lot of ways. And so that's one of the two tools. The second tool is the gut health microbiome testing. And right now, it's kind of all the hype out there. Lots of documentaries and companies advertising their products. That being said, there is definitely a role in understanding your starting point, because we can take all the supplements under the sun, supplement with all the prebiotics, probiotics, but what are we actually doing? Are we actually doing the right things? Are we taking the right strains of bacteria, or are we doing something that's counterproductive in some ways, right? So the testing sets the foundation of your starting point, not, you know, Joe's, not Karen's, but your starting point. And that is the way to then figure out, okay, what are you actually missing in this specific point in time that then we can work towards fixing in a most effective way possible so that you can feel better fast, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You have so many of your clients regain control for their health. So what's the one small and intentional change that you would recommend to our listener that they can make today to improve both of the gut health and the blood sugar?
So there are many things that we could start from. The one small change that I always advise people to think about is, what is that change going to look like for you, right? So I could tell you to start with, oh, maybe doing more of this, or maybe try some of that. But if that is too difficult of a hurdle for you to start right now, based on where you're at mentally, in terms of your mindset, resources, your schedule, if you're like in terms of your busyness, all this stuff, that may not work for you, right? So I always work with clients to figure out, okay, what is the one change that you can start right now that's easy, that's simple, that you can actually integrate into whatever you're already doing? So it's really about taking small steps and building on that foundation. So for some people, it might be eating more gut-friendly foods like sauerkraut, kimchi, yogurt. Add in to one meal a day for those components. For other people, it might be going for a short 10-minute walk around the block after eating your meals to help with a blood sugar spike if you're already into doing activity, right? It really kind of varies depending on who you are, where you're starting from, and again, make it very sustainable, practical, and personalized.
Oh, I've learned so much in this 15-20 minute conversation with you, Dr. Jenny. I guess it really starts within ourselves, making that decision what lifestyle looks like for us, what success looks like for us. Please plug away or encourage our listeners, aside from taking, you know, action, but any key takeaway from this conversation that you would like to live to our listeners, and any promotion as well that you're coming up for you.
Yeah, thank you. So when it comes to gut health, blood sugar, there's a lot of information out there, and a lot of the time it can be quite confusing. So what I tend to do is to provide people with evidence-based, scientifically backed information to point them in the right direction and to make it easily accessible, easily understandable for people, so that you're not confused and you know what to do. And you're also given access to these tools like the continuous glucose monitors, the gut health testing kits, to guide you along this process from somebody who has been there, myself, right? And so in terms of some workshops or opportunity that's coming up, so this year we are launching a performance nutrition pro program for my athletes out there who wants to take their performance to the next level, whether you're a marathoner, if you're on a sports team, whatnot. So it's really kind of about figuring out your blood sugar range, blood sugar optimization for your performance so that you can hit your goals. So that is already in the works. If you want to join the waitlist, you can log on to the website performancenutritionpro.com. All one word. And in the meantime, we still have our two main offerings. So one is a 2-week reset, leveraging the continuous glucose monitor and personalized visits with me to review your data to get you your sugar under control quickly in just 2 weeks. And the second is the gut fix package for the microbiome gut health testing piece, and also personalized one-to-one visits with me to get you on the right track for your digestive health. And both of those are available online on my website, kalehealth.ca, kale like the vegetable, kalehealth.ca. Yes. Yeah. And you can sign up, join the wait list, and we'll notify when the spot is open for those. Thank you.
I will definitely join the waitlist like after this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dr. Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for sharing those information so that ourselves and our listener can improve their gut health, like in the small action, like small one action at a time, so that we can like live healthier and better. So for our listener, if you are interested in the program that Dr. Jenny provided, you can log on her website, CareHealth. I will definitely share the website and her LinkedIn right and on the caption to make sure that you don't miss anything. So once again, thank you, Dr. Jenny, for joining our podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Jenny. Thank you, Allison. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.